From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairns with you to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in. We appreciate you taking time day by day to make this program part of your day. I trust that the Lord has been blessing our study of Matthew chapter 11 to you as we have considered Jesus Christ, the only point of contact that man can have with God. We'll be returning to that in a little while. First, however, we have our hot topic for today, courting the man of sin. Every major Protestant confession identifies the Pope of Rome as Antichrist, the man of sin. To many in this day of ignorance and carelessness about biblical truth, such sentiments may sound hopelessly sectarian and bigoted. They are not. Our Protestant forefathers looked at the biblical description of the Antichrist, the man of sin, and found there a clear representation of the papacy. Such passages as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 17 left them in no doubt that their identification was fundamentally accurate. Today it is usual, even for Protestants, to concede that the Pope, and I quote, speaks from a worldwide perspective of faith, spirituality and conscience, as Archbishop Donald Wuerl of Washington, D.C. claimed. They see him as a figure of supreme moral authority, a voice for reason and sanity, indeed the representative of Christ on earth. Billy Graham described the last pope as the greatest evangelist of the 20th century. All this is dangerous nonsense. The Pope presides over an institution that has for centuries corrupted the gospel of God's grace and produced the most monstrous system of soul slavery you could imagine. The Vatican has never missed a chance to promote its own political and financial interests, even at the cost of mayhem and murder. Just a few years ago, the Vatican Bank was deeply involved with the mafia in multi-million dollar deals and stolen bonds. Its president, unable to leave the Vatican for fear of arrest by the Italian police, but protected by John Paul II. That bank scandal left a trail of corpses across Europe. Think again. Right up to the present, the Pope and his hierarchy have consistently covered up for paedophile priests the action of a system that is irremediably corrupt. Yet since Dwight D. Eisenhower, every American president has felt the need to visit and fawn upon the Pope. Ronald Reagan re-established diplomatic relations with the Vatican, relations that had been broken by the United States because of the Vatican's involvement in the murder of Abraham Lincoln. President Bush has seen the Pope four times. The claim is that it's good for the administration to hear the Pope's voice of moral authority, and that, of course, the photo ops will enhance the president's standing among Roman Catholics. President Bush did apparently gain over 50% of the Roman Catholic vote, so in political terms, his visits proved shrewd. But it's dangerous for this nation to accord too much attention to the Pope. As late as the 1950s, the Eisenhower administration was driven almost into nuclear war with the USSR because of pressure from the Vatican on Roman Catholic members of the administration. Nowadays, the Pope routinely condemns America's every military move against terrorists, But not long ago, the Vatican was advocating a war to win Russia to the Roman faith. The truth is that the Vatican is ruthlessly selfish, and the Pope is no friend of America or American interests. The price of courting the man of sin is likely to be one that Americans will rue. George Bush found the meeting with the Pope, a man he calls the Holy Father, a moving experience, one he could not find words enough to describe. Woe to America when her leaders are so blind, for the price of the Pope's blessing will yet prove to be God's curse. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us today, and we trust that the Lord is blessing the program to your heart. Every so often I draw to your attention the fact that we produce here at Let the Bible Speak a quarterly magazine in full color that seeks to continue the theme of the broadcast and let the Bible speak on things that are important to the people of God. We leave it to others to fiddle around with things that really don't matter very much, and we want to instruct and edify and help God's people on issues of real importance from the Scriptures. Our latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available, and it deals with the subject of the doctrines of grace. Some people call these Calvinism, the doctrines of grace, those doctrines which seek to elevate and glorify the grace of God revealed in the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll take the opportunity to have your free copy of the magazine sent. Send us your request, and we'd be glad to add you to our mailing list, and we'll send you the magazine each time it comes out. You'll find it a blessing. There is no charge, and I can assure you, as always, that when you give us your mailing address, we don't pass it on to anybody else, nor do we ever use it for follow-up, giving one begging letter after another. We never do that. We don't beg. We are happy to provide the magazine to you as a ministry that we trust will be a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to receive your copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, you can write to us here at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you prefer, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. So these are the ways you can get in touch. We'll be happy to let you have Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, and I know it will be instructive, edifying, and a blessing to your heart. You know, we're all tending to be very self-righteous. That's not a particular criticism of you or me. That's simply a remark that's true of all humanity. It's in human nature as fallen to be self-righteous. And we all like to tell ourselves that we're not as bad as other people. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the other thing. And it's very easy just to say what I'm not without understanding what I am in the sight of God. Now, Tyre and Sidon were heathen cities, but Jesus said they would have repented had they had what you have. Then he comes to Sodom. Now you're getting to the dregs. Sodom stands for the very vilest in human perversion. Sodom was not just a sinful city. Sodom was a city given over to perversion, to homosexuality, to the vilest filthiness publicly displayed. And so much so they couldn't even blush. That's Sodom. But Jesus looks at Capernaum. Do you know what the main building in Capernaum was? Do you know what the center of life in Capernaum was? Its remains are standing to this day. It was the synagogue, the place of worship. The reading of the Bible, the singing of psalms, the saying of prayers. Jesus says to that city,
You're viler than Sodom ever was. Now that's not to excuse the sodomy of the Sodomites. Remember, they were in hell for their sin when Jesus said this. It wasn't excusing them. But it is to say, the judge of all the earth will not judge man's judgment. He will not judge by man's prejudices. He will judge by his own divine standard and by his own intuitive and omniscient insight into the true state of hearts. You've received great light. You've received great privilege. You've received the gospel. You've heard it. But he says you haven't repented. And I judge you for it. To me, that's one of the saddest things in all the Bible. That's one of the scariest. If Capernaum had light, tell me, does Greenville not have at least as much light? Perhaps even more. If Jesus said to Chorazin, to Bethsaida, to Capernaum, I will bring you down to hell deeper than Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah because you didn't repent, what is he going to say to Greenville? What is he going to say to America? Let's personalize it. What is he going to say to some who've sat in meetings like this, have been weaned on the scriptures, but they have never repented to receive Christ as their Messiah, their Savior? The ninth psalm is a psalm that rings in my mind for many reasons. Some to comfort and others to put in a holy fear. But in verse 17, he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. That bit about forgetting God, that scares me. Forgetting God. Do you realize you can go around Greenville today and you'll not find one person in 100 that really understands the gospel? I can say that because I watch carefully when people start writing in on religious subjects to the newspaper. When they start getting involved in religious controversy. When you talk to people. When I get letters from people. Realize these people haven't the foggiest notion in the world about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, after all these hundreds of years in America. And I'm not talking just about recent immigrants. I'm not talking even about Roman Catholics brought up in a darkened system. I'm talking about people who are Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopalians and all the rest of it. They don't know the gospel. They've forgotten God. Christ is the judge. Oh, he's the friend of sinners. But he's also the judge of sinners. He's either going to save every person here or judge them. There's no escape from that. He's either going to lift you up to heaven or cast you down to hell. Paul says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And to me, one of the most fearful aspects of it, to fall into hands and bear the marks of Calvary. To fall into hands that have been stretched forth, he says, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto you in invitation. To fall into those hands as the hands of a judge, it's truly a fearful thing. Remember, Christ is the one way between God and man. Despise it not, because he will be your judge. Finally, and I must slip over this very speedily, from verse 25 to 29, the Lord Jesus actually expounds the truth of his being the one way of communion and communication between God and man, the only point of contact. He expounds it, and he shows himself as the Christ, who's the fount of every blessing. Now, time forbids that we try to expound these verses in detail. But you will see, verse 25 to 27, that he is the ordained mediator. What a wonderful statement. All things are delivered into his hand. God has put everything concerning his kingdom into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The full administration of God's revelation of grace to man has been delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything necessary to bring in his people, establish his kingdom, save his people, build his church, everything has been delivered into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sole mediator ordained of God. Verse 27, he's the revealer of God. There's no man knows the Father but the Son. None knows the Son but the Father. But notice this. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal the Father. The revealer of God. Jesus said in John 14, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He is not saying that he and the Father are indistinguishable within the Holy Trinity. What he's saying is that all that there is to see of God is in him. All that there is to know of God is in him. Let's understand this. There is no knowing God sitting like a Buddha staring blankly at a wall. There is no knowing God following the religions or the philosophies of the world. There is no knowing God by finding out what are thought to be the best points of all the religions of man. The central tenet of Baha'ism is the devil's lie that there is truth and light in every religion, and we simply have got to collect it all from all the sources, and when we have done that, we reach the truth. There is no light in anything but what God has given us in Christ. He is the light. And outside of him, there's only darkness. Therefore, we reject the moving principle of the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches and the organizations that have come together to establish it, way back as far as the 1920s, if my memory's right, about 1928, a leading ecumenical bishop said what their purpose in life was, and it was to set out, not to call heathen religions heathen, not to evangelize the so-called heathen, but to sit down together and from all these sources discover the truth. I want to make this statement to you. God's truth is not to be discovered. God's truth has already been revealed. God's truth is to be received, believed, and obeyed. Jesus is the truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.